That's number one for Kathy, and I didn't remember the other two. I didn't make note of them. What were the other two, Kathy?
The other question, may I speak?
Yeah, I have your two questions. One is, go ahead, Kathy.
My second question was that it seems to constrict any action and investigation into the hands of the chair of the audit committee and the audit committee, even to the point of choosing whom else would be involved in any task force or any other investigations. And I'd like to know why that constriction is taking place. In the past it was handled by the full PNB. Why are we constricting it to just this one committee?
Could you please point to the paragraph that you're referring to, Kathy?
Madam Chair, we're at time.
Okay. I need a motion to extend for 5 minutes or 10 minutes.
I'd like to make a motion.
Excuse me. I need a motion to extend for 10 minutes.
Move to extend.
I have a motion.
Okay. Go ahead. So, Nia, did you answer Kathy or not?
I answered her pointing to the paragraph where she's saying...
The authority of audit committee.
Authority of audit committee. Okay.
Is one of them, but...
Okay. The way accounting practices work is that the audit committee is an independent committee of the governing body. And that's the committee that is tasked, according to the accepted principles of accounting, that is who is supposed to do that. I don't know, I guess Dan could probably say, I don't know if Pacifica, can we change that? Not to my knowledge. According to Sarbanes-Oxley, I set that out also a while ago, and it explained to you what the responsibilities are of a not-for-profit based on Sarbanes-Oxley. I sent you the white paper on that. This is just the way things operate in the United States. The audit committee is the body that is supposed to investigate this.
Okay. Nia, did you put yourself on the stack to answer those questions, or did you have anything else?
Well, really, I...
Because I have a stack, so I just want to know.
Yes, I did put myself on the stack to answer questions.
Okay, great. Jack, can you add Wendy, please?
In response to Grace's concerns about this conflicting with law or providing a hurdle that would discourage employees from going outside to, say, the Attorney General... the committee really had a very full discussion and explored this area and did revise the original draft somewhat. There might have been some ambiguous language that was taken out, and if you look on page 3 on my Word document, under the heading Reporting Concerns Employees, the very last paragraph reads, "This policy does not waive any employee rights under law."
Okay. Jack, are you done?
That's my point, yes.
Doc? And Wendy is after Doc.
Rob Robinson Stack.
Grace Aaron Stack.
Doc? Are you muted? Pound 1?
Okay. Did that do it?
Yeah.
Okay. at the committee work, you know, really... feverishly on this to try to make sure that one of the first priorities was to ensure that the person who may be a whistleblower had a sense of the seriousness and the desire of the committee to maintain confidentiality. And so with all grievance filings, there's, you know, a process. And part of the process is to ensure that certain steps are followed to ensure that things are handled the way that they should be and not haphazardly, and that there is a consistent way of dealing with issues. one of the reasons this came about was because we did not have a consistent way of dealing with possible whistleblower issues that come before this body, come before the audit committee. And in trying to put something together, we wanted to make sure that the person who may need to come forward feels a sense of confidentiality within the committee or whoever they take it to. And part of that is having a process and a procedure in place. The outside auditor is looking at the fact that we don't have a procedure in place. So it's really important that we look at the fact that we need to have a standard across the network that can be utilized in instances like this. If it never happens, great, but if it does, we should have a procedure. And currently, we just don't.
Okay.
Carolyn on the stack, please.
Wendy?
Thanks. I do want to kind of, I guess, anything that we decide to do, I've heard that will not negate California law, so I just want to make sure that we would still retain the required posters at our stations, the federal posters or whatever they are. And also, I'm reading the policy, and I get it that it says that employees should go to the HR director first, and then they would go to the chair of the audit committee. It says that the person would get the contact info for the chair from the audit committee from the HR department. For directors and other volunteers, it says that the person would get the contact info for the chair of the audit committee from the CFO. One of my issues for the last now 5 years has been that even though we try on the Pacifica website to say who it is that's on the national board, the last time I looked, it was not up to date. It had a couple of names on there that weren't even on the board anymore. You guys have heard me talk about there's pictures of each person that say a picture is coming soon, in some cases for 5 years. I think that if we're going to say that the chair of the audit committee is where people should go if they don't get whatever satisfaction they want from their first place they go, then we need to say on the Pacifica website who is the chair of the audit committee, as well as, let me go back and say, who the hell is on the PNB and what do they look like? But anyway, I don't have a problem with any of this as long as it doesn't circumvent any California law or confuse people into saying, no, you got to come to us and you can't go to some outside concern that might help you more than our little internal stuff does. So anyway, I'm going to reiterate right now, and I'm not going to make it a motion, but I know we're shorthanded on our web stuff, but we should say on the Pacifica website who's on the PNB and who's the chair of the audit committee.
Thanks, Wendy. Rob?
Right. I wanted to ask some questions of Nia in regard to this.
Could you ask all your questions at once, please?
I sure can. Nia, is this, in the first paragraph it says, Pacific Foundation Code of Conduct, is this whistleblower policy supposed to be a subset of the Code of Conduct, or is this whistleblower policy supposed to be the Code of Conduct? And my other questions are, it refers to observing high standards of business and personal ethics in the conduct of their duties, and it also discusses employees and representatives of the organization practicing honesty and integrity. And I'd like to know where we can find what that means.
Okay.
Okay, Ron. I'm sorry, Terry. Should I go ahead?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yes. It says the Pacifica Foundation, Parenthetic Foundation, Code of Conduct here and after referred to as the code. This is the whistleblower policy. Only. Nothing. It has nothing to do. Wendy asked that question earlier. This is not the code of conduct for the organization at all. And your second question was what, Rob? If you could speak up a little bit, please.
I said, what are the high standards of business and personal ethics that are referred to? And what are the practices of honesty and integrity that are referred to?
Well, basic, I mean, don't, what honesty is, how do I define honesty? Just, I guess, making sure if you think that there is...
I think he's asking if there's a written policy that you were referring to, or...
Within the foundation?
Is that correct, Rob?
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Not to my knowledge.
We're invoking regulatory standards that don't exist, that haven't been promulgated.
Dan, all right, let me go through this deck. And then, Dan, could you keep a list of some of these questions which are legal or quasi-legal, and then I'll call on you at the end of this deck?
Okay.
Okay, thanks. Grace? Oh, I'm sorry, Rob. Rob, were you done?
Yes, yes, I'm done.
Okay, all right. Grace?
Okay. I'm still concerned about several things. One, this policy should have been put forward by the governance committee, not necessarily the audit committee. And I still have concerns about the fact that this may be considered to be a discouragement of pursuing the whistleblower policy guaranteed by California statute. So I would like to make a motion to refer this to the governance committee for review. It also creates confusion, the first paragraph about a code of conduct. There are several things. I think we could make the language a little bit more less directive and more put in a way so that a person understands that he has these avenues to, he or she has avenues to report, but that they're not mandatory. To me, these seem to be mandatory reporting avenues which are in conflict with California law. So I would like to make the motion, as I stated, to refer this to the governance committee for review.
Okay. Madam Chair, we're at time.
Okay. So we have two motions on the floor, unless there's a move to extend.
Call the question.
Call the question.
Please.
Motion. Okay, Madam Secretary, the first motion is the motion to refer to the Governance Committee. Madam Secretary, sorry. Donna? Hello?
Sorry.
Oh, hello? Okay.
Donna. Am I there now? Okay.
Yeah.
Grace Aaron?
Yes.
Nia Bidiaco?
No, this is a whistleblower policy.
Evelyn Bethune.
No, we need to make a decision.
Carolyn Burden.
Yes.
AC Bird.
No.
Kathy Davis.
Yes.
Kathy Davis.
Yes.
Zakai Free. Zakai.
No. No.
Mike Martin.
No.
Effie Magaza?
Yes.
Margaret Prescott?
Not here.
Sorry. George Ryder? George? Rob Robinson?
Yes.
Sorry, I was muted, yes.
That was George, yes?
Yes.
Okay. Jamie Ross?
Yes.
Wendy Schroll? Wendy?
Yes.
Bonnie Simmons?
No.
Lori Taguma?
What's
Jack?
Hello?
Is Lori here?
Hi, yeah, I just joined a little while ago. And this was a vote to refer to committee?
Mm-hmm.
No.
Jack Van Aken?
Nope.
Joe Anzala?
Yes.
Yo Shamanaka?
Yes.
Seven yes, seven no.
Madam Chair, this is Nia, point of order.
Go ahead, Nia, point of order.
Okay. I just want to please ask the secretary to note that as the chair of the audit committee, I completely disavow the actions taken by the directors of the Pacifica National Board. I'd like for that to be recorded in the minute.
Okay. Thank you. Madam Secretary, please record that.
Madam Chair?
Yeah.
I think I have 10 to 8.
Ditto. I have 10 to 8.
I'm sorry. Let me... Did I mishear someone? I may have misheard. I'm counting 11 to 7, but I may have misheard someone.
I have Grace Aaron, yes. Nia Bediako, no. Evelyn, no. Carolyn, yes. AC, no. Kathy, yes. Zakai, no. Mike, no. Afia, yes. George, yes. Rob, yes. Jamie, yes. Wendy, yes. Bonnie, no. Lori, no. Jack, no.
Okay. I had Bonnie, yes. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Sorry about that. Thank you.
Okay. Then it's referred...
Doc?
Go ahead, Doc.
I'm going to ditto what Nia said.
Okay.
This is the most bogged down group of folks I have ever worked with in my entire life.
Okay.
We don't make a decision on anything.
Okay.
And I think that we do a disservice to the foundation. Always want to refer out or just bog stuff down with unlimited discussion. This information has gone out several times. No one has responded with any questions or anything. And I really think that we are doing a disservice to the people that sent us to represent them by not ever being able to make a decision on anything.
Okay.
And thanks to freedom of speech, I get to say that. Thank you.
Okay. So now we're going to move on.
Point of personal privilege, Madam Chair. Carolyn, please.
What's the point of personal privilege?
Well, I did make several objections along the lines of those.
Okay.
That made tonight.
Okay.
And I would like to say that this could have, to make such a motion without the consultation and advice and approval of an HR director is foolhardy. So I'm glad it's going back to committee.
Oh, don't listen to
great.
The advice. You want to listen to the damn attorney.
Okay. Okay. So we're done. We're now at time with this. There's no cross-talking. We're now moving on to the financial update, 70 minutes. And Mike, could you begin? Lonnie and Mike will present this right now.
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. Mm-hmm. The financial situation, the foundation is essentially unchanged. We face the same obstacles that we have been facing. The ones that we currently face are created now in the 2009 budget, compounded by the shortfalls of the 2008 budget. The current, I'll leave it to Lonnie to talk about the cash flow situation, but the current situation after the fund drives has us short in Washington by about $150,000, short in Texas by about $10,000. While New York appears to have reached its fund drive goal, it's still way off on its bills. It's 2 months behind on its rent, and simply just not making, has a problem making its payroll at the beginning of January, I believe, and we're running out of options in terms of a reserve ability to continue to pay on the bleed caused by WBAI. And we're going to have to start facing that issue at some point in the next couple of months. We're reaching a watershed point. We've got to do something about the cash flow issue specifically at New York. With that, the National Finance Committee met last week to consider the loan application as it was re-referred back to the committee by the PNB at the previous meeting. The National Finance Committee discussed the loan proposal for about 3 hours. There was a motion at the end of the meeting presented. The motion was to recommend that the PNB adopt the loan of $1 million and direct the NFC to further explore the specifics of the loan and direct that an on-air statement regarding the full extent, nature and extent of the loan be made to the listeners before the loan is taken out. That motion was debated and discussed and failed at a vote of 4-5. So the NFC was not able to come to the PNB with a recommendation on the loan at this time. So that is, I'll now hand it off, I guess, to Lonnie for a more specific cash flow report.
Lonnie?
Well, as I've said in various updates, at the end of this month, we will be $200,000 cash deficit, and that means we'll not be able to pay Democracy Now! And Free Speech Radio News. And
I'm sorry, Lonnie, how many hundred thousand?
It'll be a couple of hundred thousand at the end.
200?
Yeah, 191,
okay.
92. But it's worse than that because there, you know, very few stations are going to be in drive in January. That means that we don't have money for February bills, and we'll fall further behind. Even the stations that go into drive in February, it takes a month. It takes 3 months for them to get paid. So we won't have, you know, the money we need to operate in February. So we'll fall further behind, and the cash deficit will move from $200,000 to a minimum of $300,000 or $400,000. And if we get people to wait until the end of February, which I doubt, we'll be faced with irate vendors. Democracy Now! Will be upset. They'll be upset way before the end of February, I would guarantee you. We will lose our ability to continue in the sense that more and more things put us on a cash-only basis. Will allow you what we call net 30 days. Hey. Fewer and fewer vendors are willing to do that with us now. They want cash up front for any services they provide. Our attorneys, at least one of them have put us on notice that they can't continue to certain cases.
Lonnie, are you on a cell phone or?
No, that's someone that's rattling papers. That's not me. That is not me.
Okay, sorry, it's just hard to hear you.
Yeah, well, I'll turn it up a little bit more. Can you hear me now better? Is that better?
Let's give it a try.
Well, we are, as I was saying, we're running into more and more problems with our vendors that don't want, they don't trust us to pay on time because we haven't paid on time. And the ones that are critical are our insurance bill people. So we have $35,000 a month in insurance, and Democracy Now!, which we pay $50,000 a month, plus upload costs. And right now, for Democracy Now!, in the end of January, we will be 2 months behind and not able to see how we can pay them in February unless something happens. And it's just embarrassing. It's something we've known about for at least a year, that this is coming, and this is it. Now, folks say, well, why don't we do something else, take another option? I would love to have another option, but the problem that we have is that it is, you know, not one that I can think of, but I suppose we're willing to do something on the air, that in the next 30 days, we will effectively, you know, go further and further behind in paying our bills, and we will end up in a situation where it'll be very difficult to recover from going that far in the hole in arrears on your bills. Bad things happen when you're that far behind. So my recommendation is that either we pass the motion and finish the application, which is due tomorrow, and there's no guarantee that even if we were to scramble overnight, because this stuff is due tomorrow, and get the stuff to the bank, that I'm hoping that'll be enough. But if we are not able to give them the three very sort of minor things that they're asking for, that we'll lose the loan in any event. They'll be disgusted with it and say, look, we've given you a lot of time. These particular items are not very difficult to do, but we don't understand why you weren't able to comply with the timeline. So that's my feeling. I said in an email that they're not happy with us. They've gone out from their point of view on a limb for us, at least the three people who are working with that loan committee who are supporting us at the bank. Now, what to do? My strong recommendation is to approve the loan with a proviso, as I said in my email, so this is not new, that the funds not be dispersed without board approval and an attached plan for their use. So that everyone understands how those monies will be dispersed. And my second recommendation is that a contingency plan be drawn up, working with the general managers and the station, such that if we have another bad drive, or if we other expense contingencies come up, we will have a plan that we will not only have in place, but we'll have partially implemented, because I think you need to do both. And the third thing would be, of course, to look to, assuming we do get the funds, how best to use those funds that will produce revenue. That's what is entirely normal in a loan of this type. It is something the bank has asked us to do, and something I think we need to do. We still need to produce more revenue than we currently do. If we were to get a loan and still see revenue shrinking, it will become apparent. Remember, the bank will be looking at our financials every quarter, and if they see drops in revenue or we haven't implemented anything to any of the money that they've given us to implement revenue-producing activities, they will notice. They will notice that nothing is being done. They won't expect instant responses and instant revenue, but they will expect we will make a plan, take steps to implement it, have ways to evaluate it, and have some idea of how much new revenue that plan will produce over some time period. And I think we have a year to show them that it will get done. So finally, I understand that people have real trepidations about a loan. Who wants to borrow money? No one wants to borrow money. I think we would have had more options had we acted earlier, and I've said that. But we didn't. Now we're stuck with bad choices. Bad choices. None of them are good. You really want to go out close with this? Do we really want to go out and reduce staffing and other even more? Well, that can be bad for you. Do you really want to take out a loan? No, nobody really wants to do that. And do we just do nothing? Doing nothing is probably worse, because then we end up in lawsuits, and they're feeling listeners being upset when they find out that somebody's still scratching here. They're hopeful. And I think listeners will be upset if they find and they realize that we didn't do anything about the situation. So, finally, my last word is, I don't know what that is. My last word would be, we should approve the loan for the proviso.
Whoa, what was your last thing, Lonnie?
I didn't understand that at all.
Someone is scratching when I speak.
I hear it, but and then therefore I couldn't hear you. Be that as it may, please repeat what you just said.
Yeah, I think we should approve the loan with the proviso that I had outlined in that email, I think number 12. Approve the loan, insist that no funds be dispersed without prior board approval, and a plan for the use of those funds in the ways that the bank had asked and in the ways that we think prudent. And I think we ought to have a contingency plan and have that be put in place as well. So those are the things that I would suggest that be part of any motion to approve the loan.
This okay. is Jack.
Go ahead, Jack.
I circulated this afternoon a multi-part motion pertaining to the loan directly. Before moving that, I would hope that I could get unanimous consent to approve reporting out from the September 17th National Finance Committee meeting, a motion which will be of great interest to people at KPFK. It will show how the decision was made to collateralize the KPFK building. This has been rumored already. The news about it is leaking out. It won't do any harm to anyone. There's no reason it shouldn't be public, and I've just sent it out to the board. So I guess I'd like a second for that motion.
Is that good?
I'll second
two motions?
Okay.
Kathy, on the stack, please.
I'm trying. Jack, can I understand now? Okay. So are you making two?
That's just preliminary to the multi-part motion, because this is really of great interest to people, because this decision-making process was not transparent, and it needs to be now.
Okay. So is your objection on the board to reporting the decision-making process? Hearing none, then I think we can report that out. And that was from the Finance Committee, Jack?
It was a Finance Committee motion. It's in the minutes of the September 17th executive session.
Can we ask Jack to go ahead and read it once he talks again so people know what we're talking about?
Well, if just his motion as opposed to what came out of the executive session?
Well, I guess. I'm confused. It was like two motions, right?
It's been... Madam Chair, has it been approved now? It's reported out?
No, it hasn't. I think Wendy, before approval, asked, can you circulate as a conference?
Well, I can't read it. That would be reported
out.
I
thought that it was approved. Nobody objected to reporting it out, so I think it's approved. So I thought maybe it might be good to read what it is before you talk anymore.
Jack?
That was my understanding. I heard no objection, Madam Chair. Okay. This is from September 17th, executive session of the National Finance Committee. Brian Edwards Tiekert moves the following. The National Finance Committee recommends the Pacifica National Board authorize national staff to secure an equity loan against the foundation's property in Los Angeles to finance the $433,000 deficit in the national office budget and satisfy the foundation's short-term cash needs while it is restructuring. The roll call vote is Sherry Gendelman, yes. Brian Edwards Tiekert, yes. Campbell Johnson, yes. Jamie Ross, abstain. Lost it. Here it is. Zakai Free, yes. Alberto Luera, no. So there are four yeses, one abstention, one no. The motion carries. So to move on to the motion, which is subject line motion for tonight, and I understand there have been some objections raised from the CFO, which I think we need to address. Nevertheless, I'll read the motion as it was circulated. One, that the PNB approve the loan. Two, that foundation management not be permitted to spend the loan monies on any unbudgeted project without prior board approval. Three, that the PNB reaffirm its existing policy of not approving any resolution that creates additional expense for the foundation until a financial impact statement identifying the cost of the resolution, a source of funding, and the expenditure's impact on the network's financial position has been produced by staff and reviewed by the NFC. Four, that the PNB direct the CFO to identify spending cuts the PNB can authorize to accelerate repayment of the loan. Five, that the PNB direct the CFO, NFC, GM, and LSBs to generate specific timelines, cost estimates, and revenue goals for any revenue-generating projects, e.g., that would be such as direct mail campaigns. Revenue-generating projects, such as direct mail campaigns, they propose to fund with loan monies and use those projects, along with spending cuts, to accelerate repayment of the loan to such a degree that it has no outstanding balance, which would be the balloon, in 10 years. Six, that the CFO works with local management at any financial unit still generating a deficit to implement further cuts to bring those units into balance. Seven, that the NFC and CFO immediately review the status of all budgets passed by the PNB in September and report budgetary compliance to the PNB. That all units be directed to make prompt payment of central services assessments a top priority. And eight, that the national office be required to make prompt dispersals of community service grants monies to the stations and not defer payments. And if I could motivate just briefly, the problem that I think everyone sees with Pacifica borrowing money is that we do not have the discipline to pay it back, to make the changes so that we aren't planning to repay the loan with the loan itself. The purpose here is to lay out a plan for the PNB to take that responsibility, and these are policies and directives that were originally proposed by Brian Edwards Tiekert, and which I have modified to some extent.
Okay. Is there a stack?
Kathy.
Doc.
Bonnie.
Jamie.
Okay, Kathy.
I would like to offer a replacement motion. And it is that we adopt the motion passed by the PFK LSB, noting the mission statement's clause that Pacifica shall be as nearly self-sustaining as possible. In the absence of an executive director, all Pacifica station managers coordinate with each other to hold an immediate emergency on-air fund drive to raise the financial shortfall via Pacifica's traditional founding revenue generation method in accordance with its mission, rather than incur liabilities to the foundation by mortgaging or selling any station assets.
Second.
I'd like to second, but that's not the complete motion.
Well, it's not your motion.
It comes from KPFK. I agree with it, but I'd like
to... That's your motion.
Okay.
Grace?
Can I make an amendment then, or be on the staff?
I'll consider a friendly amendment.
Okay, but you know what? She's not on the stack yet.
Okay.
Let me see. Who's next? I think I have... Doc, you're next.
This, the motion that Jack just put forward is a motion that I think he tried to really bring into play all of the questions and concerns that many on our LSB have expressed. I don't think anybody wants to take a loan, but it is a bridge to us being able to handle the business of the foundation. And I think that we should seriously consider taking that loan with the caveats that are included in the motion. And I really would ask that we support it and make a decision, as we really don't have a lot of time left if our intention is to take the loan.
Okay.
Thank you.
Bonnie?
Yeah. I have a question about proper parliamentary procedure. Can I offer an amendment to Jack's motion now that there's also a substitute on the table?
You mean a substitute motion? I don't know. George, are you still on the call? Okay. Jack, do you know the answer to that question?
The answer is no.
Okay. Mike. Thanks, Mike. Okay. No, Bonnie.
Then I'll just...
Well,
Jack?
I think I was called on. My understanding is that when there's a substitute, then it's up to the chair to decide which of the two motions is considered first. So if there are amendments to my motion and the chair decides that motion's to be decided voted on first, then that would be in order. Otherwise, it would not.
Okay. So,
the point of information, Madam Chair, this is Nia.
Yes.
Could Jack please send out what he just read?
He did send it out.
Maybe my internet is just giving me problems. Okay. Sorry.
Okay.
Could you have him resend it, please?
He sent it at 2:46 West Coast time today.
I don't have it either.
Okay.
Could we also ask, while we're at it, that Kathy's motion be sent out?
Okay. Kathy?
Sure. I'll send it out right now.
Okay. So I'm going to rule Jack's motion first, so Bonnie, you can amend Jack's motion.
All right, I'll speak to Jack's motion. I am, for the most part, in favor of this motion, with all considerations, the very, very difficult place that all of us find ourselves in trying to make this decision. After reading some of Lonnie's comments on it, it occurred to me that I would like to offer a couple of amendments to it. I'm concerned that we have assigned in this motion a lot of the work and authority to the CFO, and I think it's sort of cumbersome to do that. We're obviously doing it because there is no ED in place, and I think some of these things would normally be done by an ED, and I wonder if it wouldn't make more sense to preface this by saying, as we are currently operating with no executive director, be it resolved that the PNB authorize the following policies and directives, so that as time goes by and if events change and we have an ED, it would make some sense. If we don't do that, it seems like we'd have to go back and reconstruct here at some future date if we were carrying through with this. The other thing that I am going to suggest is that we remove number 8, which is that the national office be required to make prompt dispersals of CSG monies to the stations and not defer payments. There seems to be some confusion in general, I myself being one of them, as to how the CSG monies actually are supposed to move. And I think Wendy addressed this in an email earlier about CPB monies and FSRN. And with Lonnie's comments, I would suggest that we remove that and that we split number 7 so that it says that the NFC and the CFO immediately review the status of all budgets passed by the PNB in September and report budgetary compliance to the PNB, and that the rest of number 7 become its own number 8, because they seem sort of two different subjects to me that got kind of melded together. That all units be directed to make prompt payments of central service assessments a top priority. So
okay. I second that.
Okay. Okay. Next on the stack is Jamie, then Grace.
Okay, we're from
Jamie. Town
Hi, Sherry, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, sorry, I was on mute. Okay, thank you. Let's see. First, I have a question for Lonnie. Lonnie, you say we face a $200,000 shortfall at the end of this month. Is that the national office alone, or is that the entire network as a whole?
Well, it is the amount of money that all comes to the national office from the stations because of the shortfall they're experiencing, can't pay central services and that sort of thing.
Right, but is this the...
Let me finish that thought.
Okay.
That it does not cover shortfalls the stations may have independent of that. That is, stations like WBI, totally independent of what I've laid out here, may not be able to make rent, for example. So that's different. It's not in here. And KPFK is having problems making its bills. It is $300,000 behind in its payment, Central Services Plus 7%. So I haven't accounted for what other shortfalls may be at the station. I've accounted for the shortfalls that will prevent us at the national level from meeting national responsibilities.
Okay, so that's a national office number.
Jamie, can I just ask for a clarification here? Lonnie, is the shortfall on the obligations of the national
office, does that include EDD payments and health insurance that is to pay for those particular items for each station?
That's right. I'm sorry.
Okay,
thank you for that.
Could you be clearer in your answers then?
Yes, it is. Yes. 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 Thank you for that.
All right. So I understand this is a national office shortfall. Okay,
no,
then.
No, no. You understand that the station is unable to pay their bill in insurance. Democracy Now.
No, I understand, but in the way our network's finances are done, the national office has its own income and responsibilities to pay things, and I understand that you said that the national office is going to be unable to pay $200,000 worth of bills that it needs to pay because it doesn't have the cash.
Now, I'll have to repeat. The national office pays critical station bills in advance for stations. That would include comprehensive health insurance. It would include medical insurance, dental insurance, life insurance. It considers the station part for Democracy Now! And for board expenses, like board meetings. Those payments, if they don't come from the station, they have to come from the station. What we do is we sort of pay them in advance and then bill the stations back. But those particular items I just mentioned are expenses of the stations, not the national office.
All right. I guess, Lonnie, the point that I'm trying to clear up here, is there if it were a clear network-wide $200,000 shortfall, that would imply that we had no cash to cover it up. The way it's stated now, it's not clear whether the cash may exist in some corner of the network and not in another corner. But anyway, I'm going to drop that and move on to my next point, which is our finance chair, Mike, made a point in his initial comments here that BAI appeared to be meeting its fund drive goals. I have to say, Mike, I've pointed out to you on a recent email, and I also pointed out on our NFC meeting on the phone last week that BAI had a December drive, which was a new thing for us, a 13-day drive with a goal of $332,000. That was in the budget that the PMB passed, pledge goal, and that BAI actually raised $235,000. So that BAI was short almost $50,000 in pledges.
Jamie, would you repeat the last two things? Somebody was rattling something, and I didn't hear you.
Okay, I'm sorry. In our recent December drive, a 13-day drive, we had a $332,000 pledge goal. That was in the budget that we passed. And the actual pledge total, according to our business manager, was $285,000. So there's a $47,000 pledge shortfall. So I believe it's clearly not correct to say that BAI has been making its pledge drive goals. But I don't mean to be a nitpicker, but my opinion has been for years that the network hasn't really been very well informed about what's going on at BAI.
Okay. Real quick, other nitpick aren't those goals? Sherry? But
no,
wait,
No, I will put you on the stack.
I was just going to say,
Jamie, no, Jamie, are you done?
No, I'm just getting started.
Go ahead.
That was a pledge. That was a pledge. Those are pledge goals and pledge receipts. Not there's no growth. There's no net yet. But anyway, as regards the loan, I just want to point out that, you know, somebody said, well, people will be mad at us if we don't deal with these problems. You know, in my opinion, people should be mad at us. You know, these problems have been growing for many years. That's why we're in this crisis. Pacifica has had a structural deficit functionally for at least 2 or 3 years now, and until last fall, there wasn't really any effort made to close it. And it's not even clear that the efforts made last fall did close it. You know, so far we haven't gotten any income statements regarding BAI, at least, which is my station, which was one of the stations, which is the big problem. Without those statements, we don't really know where we stand as far as our structural deficit goes. And that brings me to the loan. You know, I can't support this loan because I don't believe that Pacifica, in its current incarnation, can repay it. We're getting this loan in part, you know, to repay Democracy Now! Because we can't raise the money every month that we need to pay the the contract that we have to pay. So if even, you know, we got this line of credit last summer, you know, because we had a Democracy Now built in. So that line of credit, a lot of it got dedicated to Democracy Now. And now we have to pay back not only that line of credit, but we have to pay back more Democracy Now bills because we're not in a position to bring in all the money that we spend every month. So what's going to happen if we do take this loan? Unless some major change happens, which I don't see where it's coming from, we're going to continue to run monthly deficits, and we're going to continue to run up these unpaid vendor bills, and within 4 or 5 months, we're going to be in the same position we're in now, with a whole stack of bills that we need to pay and we can't pay. And one of those bills is going to be payments on this loan. So I just don't see how we're going to be paying back this loan. And I know that we're in a bad spot, but it would only make it worse if we were to lose one of our buildings. What we have to do is get serious and make the kind of change in our network that needs to happen so that we become sustainable. And until that happens, I don't think it's a wise move to take this loan. And the final point that I'll make in Brian's motion, he talks about how all initiatives should go through NFC to make sure that there's money to pay for them. Well, one thing people should know, the amount of money in our budget that we passed to repay this loan is $6,225. If we're actually going to repay the loan at the monthly amount needed to avoid a balloon payment, those are monthly payments of over $12,000. Also, the loan calls for a one-time $15,000 origination fee, which I don't believe is in the budget either. So if we're going to really follow Brian's motion, we should send this loan back to NFC to see where the money's going to come to make the loan payments. Otherwise, they're going to be another unbudgeted expense. And I'll stop there. Thanks.
Okay. Wendy?
This is Grace. Am I on the stack?
Yes, Wendy? You are. Wendy?
I'll pass.
Okay. Grace?
Okay. I believe I just emailed everyone two documents. One is the loan approval document, and the other is a question and answer from the lender to Pacifica. The first thing is the loan approval document. I think that all of you received my objection to taking a balloon loan. The next thing is there are conditions in this loan approval document. The first condition is, one, Clearinghouse CDFI requires the Board of Directors to indicate in writing how they will address litigation and lack of cash flow issues. That would mean we would have to have a litigation risk management plan in writing, and also a strategic recovery plan or a strategic business plan, whatever you want to call it. And we would have to, in approving the loan, indicate that we have these and that they're in writing. If we approve this loan without those two things, we are not following the conditions of the loan, and we would, I believe, be committing mortgage fraud. The next thing is, it says here in the conditions that the borrower is to provide cash flow projections on a quarterly basis. Now, and also to provide audited quarterly financials. If we have to provide audited quarterly financials, that will be quite expensive, according to our treasurer, KPFK. Now, I'd like to go over briefly, because I am on the Finance Committee, and I'd like everyone to note that the Finance Committee voted 5-4 against the approval of this loan in its last meeting just a few nights ago. This is how the million-dollar loan would be spent. To spend it in a way that is not delineated in the loan document would also be misusing borrowed funds. So the first thing is the first $3,000 would be used to pay down the Wells Fargo line of credit that was taken out against a CD held by KPFA. That's the first thing. The second $400,000 would be used to pay off debts, for instance, money we owe to Democracy Now! And other debts, for instance, to retire severance and also legal debts. So that's $400,000. The other $300,000 would be used in the following way, and I'm reading from the document itself. $150,000 would be invested in new program acquisition. This is part of a plan to increase listenership. $50,000 will be invested in expanding our national mailing campaign, which has been productive for us. $100,000 would be earmarked for new audience development. So in other words, only $400,000 of this loan can legally be used to remedy our cash flow shortfalls. That's $400,000. We do not need to pay off that line of credit right away. We can hold on to the line of credit and raise an extra $400,000 by doing emergency fund drives, as stated in Kathy Davis's motion. I think that that's what we should do, especially since the other $600,000 of the million are already earmarked, one, for paying off that line of credit, and two, for programming improvements, which we have not decided on. We need to have a strategic recovery plan first and a legal risk management plan first, which makes sense that before we can sign on to approval of this loan. Otherwise, we as a board are committing fraud because they are stating in the conditions that we have to sign off that we have those plans and we have to do it in writing. So I say I am in favor of Kathy's motion. Also, in my opinion, Brian Edwards Petikert, along with many other people in this foundation, are not facing the fact that we must improve our listenership. That's the only
excuse
way.
Excuse me. What? You don't know what Brian is facing, and I don't think you have to cast aspersions on him.
Okay,
if
fine.
If you disagree
right.
with his loan.
Okay, fine. There's no statement of improving listenership in general.
So that does improve a negative.
Okay, fine. Let me go on in a different way. I think we need to address the fact that we must improve listenership if we want to right ourselves financially. And that's one of the main things that we have to address. Austerity measures will not hack it. For instance, our worst performing station, which is WBAI, does not have that many staff. We cannot instruct them to take more severe austerity measures. They will not be able to function as a station. That station really must improve its listenership in order to survive. So I say we should hold emergency fundraising. All we have to raise now to handle our immediate cash crunch is $400,000, not a million. And then, as George has mentioned, we can also use reserves at other stations to float ourselves for a while, but we must have a strategic recovery plan, which includes improving listenership, something that not all of us seem to want to pursue.
Okay, next on the stack.
Rob Robinson.
Okay, go ahead, Rob.
Thanks. I just want to remind everyone, going back to the Articles of Incorporation and our listenership, we are required to establish and operate for educational purposes in such manner that the facilities involved shall be as nearly self-sustaining as possible. One or more radio broadcasting stations is licensed by the FCC, and so on and so forth. The difficulty that the network is having is not an expenditure problem in the sense that we can simply cap the expenditures in a certain budget area. If it's an expenditure problem that we have, it's that we're spending more and more money year after year to finance program schedules which are capturing fewer and fewer listeners. What we really have in this budget situation, in our financial crisis, is a problem of revenue. We're not able to maintain our audience base and the revenues that represents.